declare with your mouth Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified, and it is with your mouth that you profess your faith and are saved. As scriptures say, anyone who believes in him will never be put to shame, for there is no difference between Jew and Gentile. The same Lord is Lord of all, and richly blesses all who call on him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. How then can they call on the one they have not believed in? And how can they believe in the one of whom they have not heard? And how can they hear without someone preaching to them? And how can anyone preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved.
Heavenly Father, Ancient of Days, the head of the church, we glorify you this morning. We give you all the glory, we give you all the honor. Lord, we humble ourselves before you this morning. Lord, I present David before you this morning. I pray that, O Lord, you guide him and satisfy him with good things. I pray that, Lord, you keep him strong and well. I pray that you fill him with your spirit this morning. I pray that you cover him, O Lord, with your wisdom. Proverbs 15 says, the lips of the wise spread knowledge. As you speak to us this morning through your servants, O Lord, I pray that you will open our ears to hear and open our eyes to see. Teach us your word this morning, O Lord. In the mighty name of Jesus, Lord, I pray. Amen.
Hello, everyone. What a week it has been. You know, this is the first Sunday, as Tim said right at the start, of our new lockdown in England. Case numbers of COVID have unfortunately continued to rise. There's been increased hospital admissions, and unfortunately and very sadly, the death toll has continued to increase. I wonder how you are feeling. As we come into the beginning of a new year, I wonder how you're feeling as we start this lockdown and as we come into this week of prayer and fasting as a church. I wonder what you are thinking about the future for yourself and for those you love. You know, for us as a family, as for many families, this has been a challenging week of facing again the reality of remote learning and also hearing this week of relatives who have got COVID and been struggling with that, as well as having small children they're trying to look after. You know, these are not easy times. I know those are things that many are facing, and many are facing them with the added challenges of financial uncertainty and of mental health challenges and issues, and particularly the challenge of grief and loss. You know, I want to talk today about calling on God. I want to talk about crying out to God for help. I want to unpack this wonderful verse that was right at the middle of the reading that Gabello had for us, and then he repeated it at the end in Romans 10:13, where Paul, echoing some words that are found elsewhere in Scripture, says this: for everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Romans 10:13, everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. In fact, the Message translation captures it so beautifully when it says this: everyone who calls help God gets help. Do you need help? Do you need help? Do you need peace where there is anxiety in your heart? Hope where there is despair? Provision where there is lack? Reconciliation where there is conflict in a relationship? Do you need healing where there is sickness? Or rescue where you are feeling like you're sinking? Do you need help? Or does someone you know and love needs help? Maybe your parents or your kids or your neighbors or friends. You know, I need help. And I'm convinced that we need help both individually and corporately. And this morning, I want us to see that whether for ourselves individually, for us as a church or as a city or as a nation, I am convinced this morning that God can and will help us. And I want to unpack that and show us why I think that this morning. And I'm convinced that he will help us if we will call out to him. If we will cry out to God, and if we will pray. You know, that's been my experience many times over the years, and I know that's Martin's experience. That's one of the reasons why he's asked to be baptized today. You know, this amazing verse, Romans 10, verse 13, starts like this: "For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved." This amazing verse and promise is for you and for me, for Martin, for all of us, for everyone. And so I want to start this morning by saying this: don't rule yourself out. Don't rule yourself out. I think there are some myths about prayer that this simple verse is going to help dispel for us this morning. And maybe the first myth is this: that prayer isn't for me. You know, I can't talk to God like other people can. And sometimes this is a myth we believe for ourselves, but sometimes it's one that we project on to others. You know, they won't pray. You know, in this house I pray, but they don't. You know, I've even seen marriages where people kind of assume these roles, and one of them thinks they're the person who prays and the other one really never does. And they kind of both think that one rules themselves out and the other one rules the other person out. But here is what I want you to see as we start this prayer week. Prayer is for everyone. Prayer is for everyone. It's for you and for the person sitting next to you. It's for you and for your neighbor who maybe isn't listening to this live stream. You know, everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Everyone who calls help God gets help. This phrase in Romans 10:13, as I said at the start, is actually repeated a number of times in the Bible. One of those places is in the day of Pentecost, when Peter stands up after God has poured out his Spirit in a wonderful way. And Peter gets up and he talks to this kind of very varied crowd with people from all over different nations. And he says to them, look, you know, God wants to do something for the young and the old. God wants to do something for men and for women. God wants to do something for everyone. And he quotes this verse. You see, whatever age you are, whatever experience you've had of prayer or of church or of God or lack of experience of those things, don't rule yourself out. You know, our church vision is for every generation to raise the next generation to be free, to be truly free, to be those that are following Jesus, reaching out, who are an extended family and do everything in love. You know, it's a vision where everyone has a part to play. You know, each generation needs to show the next generation that prayer is for them, that they can pray, that God will hear their cries. So we need to be praying for them, but also praying with them and encouraging, however they might express it, to verbalize prayers to God themselves. So I wonder, as we start this year, as we start this week of prayer and fasting, who are you praying for and who are you praying with? But there's another myth about prayer that needs addressing here, which can cause us to rule ourselves out. And that's this myth: that my prayers don't work. You know, their prayers over there, that really kind of, you know, person who seems to be really close to God, their prayers will work, but my prayers won't work. And perhaps we can feel this because we're so aware of our huge need and brokenness, and maybe particularly of the sin, of the things we've done wrong in our lives. We feel that they will disqualify us from the promise of this verse. And we can feel this because, you know, sin is a big challenge. It's a huge problem in our life. And often we can feel that that problem is too big, that sin is too great. And this can be there for people both inside the church family, those who kind of call themselves Christians, and those who don't. You know, maybe you are a Christian, but over this challenging, COVID time, you've actually fallen into some bad habits. Maybe some addictions and sins that you know displease God, and you think, well, that's going to disqualify you from being part of this prayer week. So you're actually planning to rule yourself out, kind of like say, well, I won't really take part in it. And so I want to ask this, does your sin stop my prayer? Well, the Bible is actually quite clear on this. The Bible says in places like Isaiah 59 verses 1 and 2, it says, surely the arm of the Lord is not too short to save, nor his ear too dull to hear, but your iniquities have separated you from God. Your sins have hidden his face from you. Does sin stop prayer? Absolutely. It affects our relationship with God. It affects our connection with him. But does that mean that I shouldn't pray if I've sinned? Well, no. It's really important you hear this. Absolutely, you must pray if you've sinned. And we pray not because our sin doesn't affect our prayers, but we pray because we are looking to a merciful God who amazingly, as we're going to see, says he will help us even when we have fallen into sin. In fact, he encourages us to pray precisely in those times, to come and confess our need, to come and repent from our sin, to come and look to his mercy. You know, the enemy would love to try and persuade us that we need to somehow get our life sorted before we start to pray. But actually, it's as we pray that we are able to come and find God's grace and help in our lives. You know, the biggest help you and I that we need as a church and as a nation, is help with dealing with the problem of sin. And we can't do that on our own. In fact, there is only one person who can help us with that problem, and that is God. So secondly, I want to say this, don't rule God out, because he alone can help us. Don't rule God out. Instead, cry out to him. Cry out to God. Call on him for help. You know, the BBC have recently been showing a little video of Charlie Mackesy's work, some of his work in his very famous book, The Boy, the Mole, the Fox, and the Horse. Some of you might remember me sharing some of it in the past. And in fact, the BBC Sounds app have had an audio version of the book out for the last couple of weeks, which you can listen to on the Sounds app. And in the video bulletin, they actually referred to one of my favorite drawings in the book. We got it up here on the screen for you. The boy says to the horse, you know, what is the bravest thing you've ever said? Asked the boy. And the horse, quite surprisingly, says this, help, says the horse. Why is asking for help a brave thing to do? Well, asking for help is a brave thing to do because it puts us in a place where we admit our need. It's a place of vulnerability, and it takes courage. But it is also takes courage and bravery because it is a place of humility, but also one of faith. Faith that someone else can help me where I can't help myself. And that someone who can help us is God. God is the one who can help us. God is the one who we can look to, who can do what you and I cannot do. You know, I cannot do it, but God can and God will. Now, one of the things that we can sometimes think when we face a challenge is we focus on ourselves. What can we do? It's just like we're looking to our name, our situation, maybe even trying to protect our name and reputation. But you know, actually what we do when we ask for help, when we look to God, is we come to one who we're looking to their name, their reputation, who they are. And this promise says everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Call on his name. He is the one who is able. He is so great, so gracious, so good. In fact, Joel 2, where a book in the Old Testament where we see this verse first come. It's a time of national crisis, and Joel speaks to the people, and he speaks about things in their own time, but he also speaks about things in the future. He talks about God's amazing grace, that he's going to pour out his Spirit, that he's going to do something wonderful, and he says that everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. You see, nothing is impossible with God. There's no situation personally or for us as a nation that is too great or difficult for God. You know, I love the bit in Mark chapter 9 where some people bring a sick child, a very sick child, to Jesus. And the dad says, look, if you can do anything, take pity on us and help us, he says to Jesus. And Jesus replies like this in Mark 9 verse 23. If you can, said Jesus, everything is possible for him who believes. You know, everything is possible for him who believes. So let's call out to God. Let's remember the word of the horse to the boy. And let's have the courage and the wisdom and the humility and the faith to cry out to God. During this week of prayer and fasting, it's a great time to do that. You know, have courage this week to call out to God. To fast is a way we can say to God, look, we're hungry for you. We need your help more than we need this next meal. And I encourage you this week to maybe skip a meal each day. And if you're, for any reasons, for medical reasons, you shouldn't fast, then do fast from, if medical reasons, you shouldn't fast from food, then do fast from something else instead. But look, let's take this week to say, God, we need your help above all else. And I find that times of fasting are times when I don't just turn from food or turn and stop doing that, but I turn to God and press in to him for his help. You know, I would love us, as we fast as a church this week, to particularly pray about two things together, corporately. And that is for the pandemic to be brought under control. That would be a wonderful mercy of God on our nation, for the pandemic to be brought under control. Let's cry out to God for that. But secondly, let's pray for a spiritual awakening in our nation. Let's pray that God would use this time to help people see that we need his help, that we can't be self-sufficient like we so often think we are. These times of crisis remind us that we're not. And you might have a bunch of other things that personally you want to pray for too, but I would love us to press into prayer for those things. But finally, as we just come towards the end, I want to say that one last thing where we sometimes rule God out is that maybe we've prayed and prayed even hard, maybe even fasted in the past for something, and we haven't seen the answer that we would have loved to see. We haven't seen the God working in the way we'd expect or hoped. Well, this promise in this passage says something amazing. It says this: everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. There's a sense in which sometimes God's salvation works itself out in timings and ways that we don't expect or anticipate. In fact, so often what can happen is that we are crying out to God and living in this tension of things that we're hoping for, and yet the reality still feels different. Those times can be times when we visit, as it were, as we fix our eyes on Jesus, have to pick up our cross and follow him. And it's a difficult, hard path. It sometimes feels like a desert. Maybe you're in a time like that at the moment where it feels like your prayers aren't being answered the way you would hope. Well, don't give in to despair, or don't give in to denial and just try to pretend everything is fine. There is something of living in this tension, in this kind of desert-like place, which is important and helpful. And in it, we can actually often grow in our relationship with God. And God gives us prayers in the Bible, prayers like laments that can help us in those kind of times, prayers that can help us press in to God. There's a book I found so helpful on prayer called A Praying Life. And in it, Paul Miller, talking about these kind of times, says this. He says that we can thrive in desert life. Do you see, the still, dry air of the desert brings a sense of helplessness that is so crucial to the spirit of prayer. Desert life sanctifies you. You have no idea you are changing. You simply notice, after you've been in the desert a while, that you are different. After a while, you notice your real thirst for God himself. The best gift in the desert is God's presence. He goes on and asks this question, you know, how does God answer the Old Testament laments? The Old Testament cries for help when it seems like God's help isn't coming in the way they expect. How does God answer those prayers, those laments? Well, he answers through Jesus Christ. Jesus is God come to help us. Jesus is the one who entered our suffering, our lament, our story. He came to help us, but not in the way that we or others at the time expected his help. He came to rescue us, but he came and did that through dying on a cross. He came and his rescue was through rejection and humiliation and crucifixion. And yet it didn't end there. He rose again. The resurrection followed, showing that Jesus is Lord, just as that wider context speaks about in the book of Romans in chapter 10 that we had read for us earlier. You know, baptism is that symbol of us remembering Jesus' death and resurrection, remembering that not just did he die, and as people are baptized, they identify with Jesus' death and resurrection as they declare with their mouths that they believe Jesus is Lord and they turn from their sin. But you know, as we identify with Jesus' death and resurrection, we ourselves also pick up that cross to follow him and walk what is often a difficult path. And yet, as we read in Romans 10, 11 and 12, it is a path rich with blessing. God wants to bless you and I as we call out to him. Yes, there are some future aspects to that salvation, to that rescue. One day there will be no more sin and death and sickness. But for now, there is still God's presence, God's peace, God's forgiveness, God's healing work in our lives in all kinds of ways. Even now, God wants to bless you with his Spirit. And with the knowledge that as you pray, he answers. So perhaps you've never called out to God for his rescue, for his help, for him to save you. Well, I'm going to pray a prayer now which you can echo, which is a prayer for help. A prayer for you personally to say, God, I want your help in my life. I admit my need. It's a prayer that calls on the name of the Lord. It's a prayer that could turn your life around. So please echo this prayer with me in your heart. Please join me now, but also join me this week as we call out to God together. Let's pray. The words for this prayer are up on the screen, and I'd love you to pray it out loud, even in your room where you are. Let's pray it together. Lord Jesus, I need your help. I need your forgiveness. I need your presence. I'm sorry for my sin, for my prayerlessness. Thank you for dying for me on the cross. Thank you for your promise of help, salvation, and rescue. Please come into my life by your Spirit and help me to live for you and with you. Please, Lord, help me in my praying. Please help those around me and help us as a nation through this time. I ask these things in your name. Amen.